All right, so welcome everybody to our Authentic Expression Wishweaver Circle teleconference 2. I'm really glad to see that you're all here, except for, of course, our dear Elle, who, as you now know, accepted a position with a counseling center here in the Portland area, and she's going to be working full-time for quite a while, so she won't be able to join us on our calls. She'll be able to listen in the evenings, but it's a really good fit for her, so we'll just try and hold her in love and light and high good thoughts here in her absence. So we know you're here virtually, Elle. Everybody else, welcome. And but this is what I'm hoping by now will have transpired for at least most of you, that you've had some time reflecting on really what that perfect day in the life of your authentic self looks like. And you've learned the transformational voice cycle of breath-based vocalization. So hopefully you've had a chance to work on the breathing exercises at least when you go to bed at night, and to start working on avoiding those glottal onsets and speaking with resonance. And this is the good question as of last week's homework. Hopefully you've spent some time with your 9-year-old self and identified some words that were used to describe you early in life, which can potentially be your greatest gifts. And today is really all about the wish weaving, the masterminding portion. That's the meat and potatoes of today's call, but that'll be more in the second half. So what I'd kind of like to do is just go around in a circle and check in and see what has been going on for you guys. What's alive for you? What have you been able to get accomplished from the homework? And just if you have any questions or anything that you want to share so far, just in the process.
Okay, who's going first? I was waiting for someone else.
Jennifer, would you mind going first? I'm gonna pick on you because you were here first in the call. So
okay, no problem. Well, this week it's been a little bit of a rough week because I have not been feeling well. So, and that, of course, when I'm laying on the couch not feeling well, kind of gives me time to start thinking negatively. I've been working really hard to push the negative thoughts out, but I start kind of doubting myself. So I've been kind of in a, where I've continued, been fighting against trying to, am I on the right path? And you know, then I did go through the exercises and of, you know, the traits as a kid and trying to find the positive in them. And so it's just been a little bit of a, kind of a rougher week though, as I'm trying to, you know, when last week I was feeling so confident and happy, and then this week having a little bit harder time, so I'm feeling up and down, you know, and so it's been a little bit rougher on the week.
Yeah, and that happens. I've had kind of a rough week myself, so I think there might be something in the ethers as well. But that's totally part of the process, and I don't think it ever stops. I mean, I hate to say that. I can give you tools to make it to get through them, but I think it's just an ongoing thing where, you know, we all have periods because we're human. But can I ask, did you have any particular, and some people don't, but a lot of people do find some kind of a word from their childhood that was used to describe them that was kind of a, that kind of pops out. Did you have anything like that?
Well, I did. So I had a couple, and both, and the other two, I could find the positive connotation, but the one that I've been struggling with, because I can't really find a positive connotation, is flighty. And I was always called flighty from the time I was a kid. And then that's what came up in me, is like, because I tend to, if stuff gets hard, kind of give up or move on. I always have 100 different things going on, and then I kind of burn out. So that's the one, it's like I've always been described as flighty. How do I spin? So sensitive and emotional are other ones that I can spin and feel positive. But what is there a positive for flighty?
I can actually think of something, but I want to interrupt you real quick just because you're breaking up quite a bit. I wonder if you might want to put the phone somewhere else or maybe put on a headset. Is anybody else having a little trouble hearing her?
I am.
Yeah. So
are you? So I'm just on my regular cell phone. Maybe I'll move around somewhere else.
That was
all right. I was laying on the couch. Maybe for some reason that was.
Okay. Yeah, just be cognizant of that, because we really want to hear what you're saying, because what you're saying is valuable. To me, actually, the word flighty can mean just interested in a lot of different things. And so, you know, you might have a need to just explore things. And the ones that that work for you, you might stick with. But the ones that go, okay, that was fun. Now I'm ready to move on to something else. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully if I find something that sticks, I guess that's always my main worry is what if I don't find the one thing that sticks? Or, yeah, it's funny. Like, the whole rest of the week kind of doubting. It's like, what if I can't find that one thing that I can be successful at? Because I have so many things that I kind of want to do everything.
Yeah, I understand that. I remember hearing Neil Donald Walsh speak one time years ago, and it just stuck out in my mind. It's like, if you don't know which direction to pick one and take it, and if it doesn't work out, that's okay. Then you choose another one. And that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is that it, particularly as an entrepreneur, you know, if you decide that you want to start a business or you want to open a store or, you know, whatever the case may be, is that is a long-term path. So it has to be something mm-hmm. that you're going to enjoy day in and day out. It doesn't mean you have to do it for life. Nothing. You don't have to do anything for life. But when you commit to a business, you want to know that something you're going to enjoy enough to keep with it at least 3 to 5 years, because it can take that long before you start seeing the fruit.
Are you talking to me?
I'm talking to Jennifer.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I had you on mute. My daughter is yelling.
Oh.
So sorry.
No, I was just responding to the flighty comment. In that, you know, if you want to try a business, you need to realize it could be 3 to 5 years before it really starts to take off. So it has to be something you enjoy. But still, it doesn't mean you have to stick with it for life. A lot of people do a business for a few years and then they do something else. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
You know? So anything else?
No, that was kind of my main stuff I've been kind of thinking about. Well, I did go back and was reviewing the me now and what stood out to me most about it. And the one thing that really did to me is, in this scenario, though, my family and I were all really close and spending time together, and we're all following our dreams. And so, but I guess then I put pressure on myself that I'm responsible for making sure my entire family can follow their dreams too. And so I'm trying to, you know, think that I need to continue to focus just on me for a while, and it always slips into my whole family because I'm a caretaker by nature.
Yes, that's actually a huge understanding. Thank you for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
That's big. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Gabby, do you want to go next?
Sure. Well, I was often called a daydreamer. And it did have, I think, the intention of being negative. I remember hearing, you know, my mom talking to teachers, and it was kind of just like, she doesn't pay attention. She's always looking out the window, daydreaming. So that definitely has some, you know, has stuck with me, you know, and I've thought a lot about it. And I actually think it's a good thing as long as, you know, I'm capturing some of those daydreams.
Yeah.
So I've really, you know, been focusing really for the last probably 2 years or so, maybe less, but, you know, slowly and probably more concentrated now, I guess, on working on, you know, like, I guess, being more specific, you know, trying to, you know, not be so like broad with all of my thoughts and, you know, narrowing them down and focusing on ones that really stand out. And so can I give you another one that's just an interesting?
Absolutely. And in regards to the words, and also in regards to how the process has been going for you and just how, you know, how you're doing overall. Yeah, please do.
Yeah.
We got plenty of time.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's going well. This group is so helpful to me to kind of work through, you know, my thoughts about my ideas and the direction that I want to be headed.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now, I would say, aside from my divorce, it's kind of secret still. I mean, from, you know, my younger child, so it's kind of strange. But aside from that, my family and I have just kind of become distant, very distant. And this past, I guess it was Monday, I had a conversation with my mom, and Everything was fine, except she decided that she wanted to, basically tell me that, you know, my teenager was so disrespectful and there was basically no hope for her. It's been an interesting, you know, like, I guess last couple of days, really going really deep, thinking about, you know, having to like pick apart, these are the facts, you know, here's the situation. These are, you know, the different, like, kind of like doing a mind map of the relationships in my family. To get a grip on, you know, this isn't just me. You know, I'm not, you know, all screwed up and everyone else has it all together and everyone, you know, so.
Yeah.
So it's been an interesting experience for me with that situation, well, both of them, but, you know, and realizing that, you know, other people change too. People do change. So, yeah, the whole, you know, blame and self-doubt, guilt, all of those childhood things coming up. And so it's, I mean, it's interesting. I still feel, you know, pretty up.
Awesome.
So, well, the other thing really quick, I'll just say that one of the things that I remember, I mean, so stuck hearing my mom's words when I was growing up saying, you know, stop being so negative. And, you know, I mean, she never said, you know, you should try to be more positive. She just said, don't be so negative. So, I mean, that's a huge struggle of mine. I mean, it's not a struggle, like a painful struggle. It's just an ongoing, you know, I guess, thing in my mind, you know, searching for ways to stay positive about things and look for the bright side of things. And it's been a huge growth for me. So it's a good thing after all.
And what was the other, word you mentioned that you had another word that had come to you? Was that it?
Daydreamer.
It was daydreamer. And then stop being so negative. That's really an interesting combination, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and to me, daydreamer means that you have the ability to visualize, because a lot of us are not necessarily where we want to be. You know, that's what I do on my God walks. I have an idea of where I want to live next, for example, and where I want to live next is a little ways out of town. It's not too far from town, but it's enough far out of town that I'm in a country type setting, and there's a studio where I can hold classes right on the property. So that's my daydream that I take with me on my God walks. I can see that in my mind's eye. But, you know, I want to interject before we move on to Kate or Tracy, just because this keeps popping up for me this week over and over again. I was telling Stephanie and Gabby before you two came on the line, Kate and Tracy, that I lost a college friend. She actually died back in May, but I didn't find out about it until this week. Her husband had notified me that he lost Diane to breast cancer. So I've been working on a letter to send to them and going through some grieving and some anxiety, because I'm risking this week. I entered a speech contest and I have an audition on Saturday. That's a lot for 1 week. So those emotions come, and it is so important to feel them. I mean, you can focus on the positive, but if you stuff your feelings down and don't feel them, they pop up and cause problems later on. You know what I mean? So it's a fine balance between feeling what you're feeling and acknowledging that it's there and allowing it to pass, and then also staying positive. You know,
yeah.
Both are equally important. So let me stress that. But was there anything more that you wanted to share, Gabby, before we move on?
No, I have a lot, so, you know, I could go on and on for hours.
Okay. Yeah, and we've only got an hour, so.
Right.
Okay, so Tracy or Kate, who would like to go next?
I can go next. I just took you off of mute, so hopefully I'm again outdoors somewhere right between things I have to be doing, so hopefully
of course.
Let me know if you hear background noise.
I can hear you.
Good. Okay. So in a nutshell, just a little bit, this week's been, last week, it's so funny, this Dreamweaver started, and I usually have a hectic schedule, but when we started it, it was just crazy. It was that thing where you just run from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next, with just a few breathers to make sure that you're getting everything done, but not a lot of time to really figure things out. And then last Monday, I threw my back out, which ended up being a good thing because I got in to see a chiropractor, and it turns out I've got stage 2 degeneration in my neck and in my lower back. So I got to start doing some stuff, or it's going to get worse. So turns out that was a good thing that I actually threw it out and have been struggling ever since, just because at least I'm finally now, you know, going and getting some help, and I know I've got to concentrate on this in my life. So as far as the traits of being a child, I was the oldest of 7 kids, and I was in charge. My dad came from a strong family where his mom ran the household, and so he always looked up to me as the oldest of the children, even, you know, though my brother, a year younger than me, was the boy who was named after my dad for the 8th generation. But in any case, I was the leader. I was also really good at school, but we're really kind of geeky family, so it's like we're good at school, but learning social skills has always been something I've had to work on because it doesn't come naturally to me. And the last thing is I'm a chatter. I remember when I was a kid, the neighbor used to call me Chatty Cathy, and I used to go out and I'd see the neighbors and I'd talk to them all the time. So I'm very used to being, the talker. So those are my characteristics that I think of from my youth.
Yeah, I don't know if you had a chance to listen to my video, Kate, but one of mine was Motor Mouth.
I've listened to several of them, but I didn't hear the one with the motor mouth one.
That was one of them.
Yeah, that's funny.
Was there anything else you wanted to share, Kate?
When I'm thinking about my perfect day, I don't know if I have too much in it, because but what I have coming out in my real life is, and by the way, you're right, you know, in my perfect world, in the Me Too world, I am surrounded by people who are also working to try to make our community better and to try to, you know, be a more positive, functional, you know, society. So
excellent.
That is a big piece of my dream for the future of, you know, who I am and where I am. And another part of it is, this is the hard part, and this is where the group can maybe help me. I was always like this whirlwind person, so I've never like kept an orderly room, or, you know, I'm the type of person who the kitchen is a disaster and then I whirl through it and clean it all up, you know. But I can't do that anymore now, and I need to move into a place where I have things organized. So in my perfect day, I get up, I know exactly where things are, everything's in its place. And I am nowhere near that in my real life, but it's something I need to do, because what I'm finding is as I get older and I have less stamina, it's more stressful because it takes me a lot longer to clean things up. So I don't like to have the big whirlwind I have to do anymore. I want it just in pieces so that I can do it as I go. And I have issues with organization of stuff, where I get stressed out because I'm looking for something that I can't find. And so I know that as far as for, you know, serenity and efficiency, I need to be that woman who has a place for everything and knows where everything is.
Hold on to that for the wish weaving portion, because that's really important. I have noticed really over and over again in doing this kind of work, even in my own personal wish weaving circle, a lot of times when people are having trouble prioritizing, making decisions, when they're just kind of foggy headed, it many, many times it's a reflection of what's going on in their home environment. It's crazy how much that affects you. So yeah, we'll help you on that. Hold on to that one. So awesome.
Okay,
go ahead.
Do you need me to put you guys back on mute? Does it sound okay? Or are you hearing background noise?
I think it sounds good.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, good. Okay.
Oh, Okay, Tracy. So your turn before we get going in our circle. Exciting. Yay.
Hi.
Hi.
So perfect that I'm going last because that's one of my words is you're such a great, listener. You're such a great listener. You're so calm and attentive and quiet. And it's interesting because when I wrote the words down, I didn't associate them so much with like that's negative, in terms of like maybe it's something that I didn't like to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But I realized how much of a driving force it is for me now in my adult life. I was a middle child, and I feel like I was kind of like I did everything right, was like a good girl and, did well in school and athletics and all that stuff. And my brother was a hellion. He just, he just was like always in trouble. And my sister, younger sister, kind of had her moments too. And I don't see this as a great positive thing in terms of the influence of my life because I feel like my parents kind of just left me alone and they just let me kind of do my thing, And I feel like upon reflection, like I wish I would have had more guidance from them, It kind of was like this neutral handling of Tracy and she was fine. She was good. And my dad said to me at one point, I thought you were the one that was going to make it. He said to me one time. It was interesting. I sort of super didn't take it personal, but I totally knew what he meant. And this is at a time when I was like, had just completed my yoga teacher training and I was like starting to teach. And for me, I mean, I was like personally felt highly successful in my life and, so it didn't really faze me, but I kind of understood where he was coming from. So like these words to me, I don't feel like they've been they have in a lot of ways been a great benefit, but not now that I'm an entrepreneur. So
yeah.
I'm really finding that I'm like, yeah, I'm a great listener. Yeah, I stay really calm and I'm attentive and can be super quiet. But, when you're an entrepreneur and you're building your own business, you need to be out there, you need to be thinking on your feet. I feel like that those kinds of things are hard for me to do. Like I've really had to cultivate that, those skills. So those are some of my words. And I guess it was an interesting exercise. It was super helpful.
Good.
I kind of realized, where I'm already going and where kind of like, my growth is happening. So it's interesting.
Is that part of what you're bringing to the circle today, Tracy? For feedback from other people?
Yeah. I mean, to find my authentic voice, this is what really brought me to the circle. And I feel like this is a part of it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's use that as what you want to work on today, because I've already got a couple of ideas for you. So, but I'll save them for the time portion. But one thing I would like to say, just because I'm hearing a similar vein with me and my brother, as far as you and your siblings, I have one younger brother, but mm-hmm. I was the one who was always kind of the parent pleaser, and it was really important that I did what they said. And if I didn't, I'd call and say, "Can I come home half an hour later?" And I'd cry, and
yeah.
and that whole thing. Whereas my brother was like, "Nobody's telling me what to do." He just did exactly what he wanted to do from as long as I can remember. And who's the person who branched? He went to school. He became a mechanical engineer, and then he started his own business when he was probably in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And he just branched off and started an automation business with a bunch of other partners. They left the company that they worked for, and they started it. And I think he turned a profit his first year. It's like, who does that?
Yeah. Wow. Well,
my brother does. But he wouldn't take no for an answer. He knew who he was at a very young age, and it wasn't about pleasing mom and dad, screw them. But he still has a really good relationship with them too, so it's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so just as a few things to keep in mind here before we start the wish weaving circle. Now, first, just how many of you have ever been in a mastermind group before? Anybody?
I have, but it was work related, not personal related.
So one has and one's been in a work-related one. Okay, so really what I want you to keep in mind is what a valuable opportunity this is. So don't hold back. Take full advantage of it. When Napoleon Hill published Think and Grow Rich back in 1937, he interviewed the most successful men in the United States of the day. And we're talking like Andrew Carnegie, Thomas Edison, Henry Ford, and it figured out what had helped them create their success, and without exception, they all had mastermind groups, and they all considered their mastermind groups to be crucial to their success. So really take full advantage of the opportunity. I'm in one all the time. I never go without at least having a wish weaving partner. And then second, as we move into this, just remember the items that are going to keep you in the thriving zone. While we talked about the thriving zone, that first class, that's where we want to be, always kind of pushing up against, you know, what we think is possible. And then also remember that it's a timed process. So I literally am going to divide the time equally between four people, and I'm going to be keeping an eye on the timer. And when I call time, we need to move on to the next person. But this is what seems to happen is sometimes other people need more and sometimes other people need less. So if we have a little time left over at the end, those who need more can take it, okay? And so does everybody have their mastermind principles handy that I sent you?
Yeah. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I don't have it with me.
So that's you, right, Kate? Okay, so we'll need to skip you this time then. But what I really like to do, because it just sets our intention and it starts our process in place, it's kind of a ritual, is to read these out loud, each taking turns. So each of us will take turns reading one of the principles. So before we start that, does anybody have any questions?
Wait a second. I've got your book with the seven mastermind principles.
Oh,
is that
got
the same one?
It is. So go ahead and open up to page 32. Yep. So I will go ahead and start, and then let's go in the order that we came in the call. So it'll be me, Jennifer, Gabby, Tracy, and Kate, and then back to the beginning again, okay, and circle around until we've read all seven. So I will go ahead and start and say, I release myself to the mastermind because I am strong when I have others to help me.
I believe the combined intelligence of the mastermind creates a wisdom far beyond my own.
I understand that I will more easily create positive results in my life when I'm open to looking at myself and my problems and opportunities from another's point of view.
I decide to release my desire totally and trust to the mastermind, and I am open to accepting new possibilities.
I forgive myself for mistakes I have made. I also forgive others who have hurt me in the past so I can move into the future with a clean slate.
I ask the mastermind to hear what I really want, my goals, my dreams, and my desires, and I hear my mastermind partners support me in my fulfillment.
I accept, I know, relax, and accept, believing that the working power of the mastermind will respond to my every need. I am grateful knowing this is so.
Okay, wonderful. Now, hopefully everybody also has a paper and pen in front of you so you can jot down notes from what you receive from the other people. And just remember, this isn't the time to debate what may or may not work or is something that you've already tried. Just go ahead and accept whatever comes your way. And then we'll move on to the next person after your time is complete. So we've got we're going to have a good 6.5 minutes apiece. So do you want me to assign people, or just I think I'm going to let people volunteer. Who wants to go first? Any volunteer? All right, I will assign then. we'll go in the same order that we just did. How's that? So that means Jennifer.
I will never call in first again. No, just kidding.
Oh, but you're sick, so it'll give you a chance to get it over, and then you can just go back.
Yes.
And,
yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so do I
oh,
just,
and just,
well, just
one thing is say what you're wanting help with or what you're wanting to work on or play with in no more than 2 to 3 sentences, and then just absorb. So there you go, 2 to 3
okay.
sentences.
Well, I'm struggling. I really want to have a business, but as it's been 2 months without employment, I find myself starting to doubt myself and wanting to go back to traditional employment, even though I don't want to. So this has been a real internal struggle for me.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I'll go ahead and start. Do you know? Have you decided on potential businesses?
Well, the sad thing for me, I looked at one shop that I wanted so bad, but because I don't have a job, our debt-to-income ratio is cut in half, and so I didn't qualify for a business loan for it unless I could come up with $10,000, which I don't have. So that right there just kind of felt it was a defeat that I've been struggling with.
Well, there are different ways to look at it because there are ways there probably are ways that you could come up with $10,000 if you really wanted to. So I'm going to say I'm going to throw that out there and say it's probably possible. I don't know what your resources are. I'm not the expert on that. Alexis Neely is actually a coach who would be the best person for you to talk to find out where you might have $10,000. And I also just wanted to throw out something in regards to, you know, temporary work is always something that's kind of fun that you can do while you're researching your options. And it doesn't tie you mm-hmm. to a permanent traditional job. Somebody else jump in too,
right,
please.
Right.
Anything that's coming to your mind. Or questions you might want to ask, Jennifer?
I have a question. What do you want to do again?
Well, I would love to have a little retail shop. I make a lot of furniture and I have paintings and I've always loved clothing, so kind of like a consignment store or something along that line with unique and creative little retail items. And I have items that I have in a couple different little shops, but they're not a high traffic shop. So it's slow, and I'm trying to figure out that avenue of how I can reach people with my items that doesn't cost an arm and a leg up front.
And Etsy, are you on Etsy?
I'm not. I didn't know. I need to look into it. I have a lot of furniture. They're big items, so I don't know. Can you? Because you have to ship
them.
So I don't know. Do people buy items like that on Etsy?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
Really? And they'll pay shipping, huh?
Well, you roll the shipping into the cost of the item.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
yesterday someone told me about Etsy, so I need to look into that for sure.
It would be. I think it would be a great avenue to get out there. I love Etsy, and they have everything artistic and creative and unique. It's amazing. And
really?
You can pin. I mean, I will pin. If you get stuff on Etsy or just get pictures, I'll pin them on my Pinterest. You know, so you put them on your Pinterest board,
mm-hmm.
and we can all share them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I will definitely start looking into that now, since you're the second time now in 2 days that I've heard I need to look at Etsy.
Yeah.
I have a question too. Do you consider yourself an artist when you, like, make the furniture and make the items? Do you have some kind of, like, where you have your own signature that represents you?
Not in my
that
furniture. I actually paint as well, so I have a lot of canvas paintings. So those I actually are my artistic side in me. The furniture I do just because I like to do it.
this is Tracy. I got something.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a organization called Mercy Corps, that teaches about small business, but also, running your small business also provides grants if you go through their business training program.
Oh, and, really? Mercy Corps?
Mercy Corps, C-O-R-P-S, Northwest, N-W, .org.
Okay. Okay.
and just click on Grow Business. And I haven't been through their program, but I know some women that have gone through their business training, and by at the end of it, you're available for a grant from Mercy Corps to start your small business or a loan. I don't know
what
form, but it sounds like a very cool program.
Oh, thank you. Guys have been great.
Yeah, this is awesome. And if you want
to
talk
better already.
and Jennifer, if you want to talk to someone who's done something similar, I used to work part time at a little shop called Corky's Daughter in Salem. It was delightful, and I'm still in touch with the owner. She sold the store a long time ago, but it was a profitable store, and I'm sure she would be willing to let you pick her brain if you just wanted like a mentor, you know.
Oh, that would be great. Because yeah, sometimes I feel like I'm kind of just floundering. I don't know where to start first.
Yeah, and also I'm trying to think where it would be in your area, but you know, there's the small business development centers are everywhere, and I'm sure there's a small business development center like in Corvallis or somewhere that you could talk to, and they would help you get a business plan together and all that stuff.
Okay. I'm writing all this down.
Perfect. And
all right. Well, thanks. That gives. Oh, go ahead.
Well, you still have about 30 seconds, but sounds like you've got a lot. So.
I do. I have several things that I need to jump on. So, thank you, everybody.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and reset my timer. And Gabby, do you want to go next, or?
Sure. Okay. And so I can talk about anything.
Pick one that's your top one to three.
Okay. Well, I would say right now what's in the foremost of my mind is if I should approach or, you know, deal with any relationships in my family that or should I just leave that? So basically It's like I'm the only family member. I have three siblings, and I'm the only family member out of town. They all live, you know, nearby each other. And I can't even explain. I mean, there's no point explaining the details, but it's like my sister got mad at my daughter, and all it did was make me upset. This was almost a year ago. And now it's kind of like everyone's jumped on this bandwagon. That's what it feels like, at least, where everyone is, like, distancing themselves and, you know, like, all of a sudden I'm the devil. And I don't know if I should just go on with my life because I've done nothing wrong or if I should do anything to – it's a big thing in my life, I guess, in my mind.
You're wondering if – or how many or steps you might want to take to rectify or defracture things with your family. Is that what you're saying?
There's a lot of background noise with somebody's phone or something.
Yeah, it sounds like a TV or something.
Yeah, I wonder whoever's by the TV, you might want to mute your phone. Or maybe it's Kate. Maybe it's where you are.
Well,
I don't know.
I'm sitting outside. Here, let me mute it. I'm going to mute it and tell me if it's better.
Okay. And I'm going to pause just for a minute to give Gabby a little bit more. Yeah, that took care of it. So it must have been you, Kate. Go ahead. Okay, so go ahead. I just want to make sure that I understand what you're asking for. Is that it, Gabby? You're wondering what steps, if any, you should take in regards to your family?
Yeah, I'm wondering if I should just let it go because it seems to be, you know, beyond my control how other people feel about a situation that has morphed into something else, and I don't even have an understanding of how everyone views, you know, the situation, which I can't even sister. I've never been in a situation like this with my family, and it's a very strange thing. I want to just be able to go on with my day-to-day life, but it's strange not even being in contact with my family.
Mm-hmm. That's a tough one without knowing, and we don't have time and we don't even need to know all of the details, but mm-hmm. my sense, my initial sense is if this is something that you're not feeling good about and it's bothering you and it's causing you emotions, that there may be reaching out that needs to be done if it's going to make you feel better.
Mm. But I also just writing a letter. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead too.
I had some advice about a similar situation in the past of writing a letter, even if you don't send it, but to write it all out so you can put it all down and then reflect on what you're feeling and what you would say to people, and then decide the next step if you want to send it or.
Absolutely. I think that's brilliant. What Barbara Stanny used to call those, and I've mentioned her in the past, she's one of my financial mentors who wrote Secrets of Six-Figure Women. She called them anger letters. Whoever, and it doesn't even have to be anger. It can be sadness. It can be grief. It can be disbelief. But whatever that emotion is, write it down and keep adding to it. Pick it up, look at it every day, and keep adding to it until you are completely complete. And you have written every single thing that you can possibly write, and then decide how you want to approach it from there. And just because I hear a lot of emotion in your voice, I wonder if there's a professional that you could talk to too. I mean, I'm a big, huge fan of therapy. I'm a huge fan of counseling. I love it.
Amen.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. Mm-hmm. Okay. I've been thinking about that because I started writing out, like I said earlier, just kind of a map of all the relationships and how everyone seems to feel about everyone else, and
mm-hmm.
to feel less like there's something wrong with me and everyone's against me. So if I write a letter, let's say to each family member, telling them all of my feelings about them and our relationship and my hopes. Yeah.
That will really help you gain clarity. And then you can come back to us after you've done that. And it could take a while, depending on how many family members are involved. But and you will feel better, too. You'll both gain clarity and you'll release a lot of that, feeling element. And, Gabby, I'm going to try and find something. It might take me a while because it's been a while since I've seen it, but it's an exercise that I did with two people in my life that I had conflict with several years ago, and it's from The Energy of Money is the name of the book, and it's an exercise where you visualize that you're sitting in a chair facing this person, and it is so powerful. And then you go make a circle and write down stuff afterwards. But I can't remember the exact details. So I'm going to make a note to myself to try and find that for you. And then I'll share it. I'll probably share it in the Facebook forum so that everybody can benefit.
Okay.
I was going to say, from my perspective in life, what I find helps me is there's this book called The Four Agreements. I don't know, but it talks about different things. Like it starts by saying that we use language to learn to domesticate each other. So we reward people with words when they do what we want. We punish them with words when they don't do what we want to try to get them to. So, and one of the next things to realize is that that's what people are doing. There's no reason for you to take it personally. And it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to be able to do it. It's something you learn to do over time. Because it's hard not to take things personally, especially from people that you love and care about. But when you have the ability to recognize that's their position, that's their world, there's some validity in it, but I don't have to own it. I don't have to beat myself up, and to teach yourself not to beat yourself up. It just can be releasing over the long term, or it has been for me.
Okay, that's very helpful that those are not my feelings. These are, I have my own feelings.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I feel better.
Yeah, the four agreements, that was excellent, Kate. And it's true. Just words that people use to describe us may not have anything to do with us at all.
Yeah, they usually say
a lot of
more
times
about them.
I was going to say, people often tend to project their own feelings onto other people.
Mm-hmm. that's right at right about at 6:20 there. So hopefully that gave you some good stuff there, Gabby.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Okay, so Kate or Tracy, who wants to go next?
I'll go, following the order.
Okay.
So I'm in this where I am now, and I always feel like I get pushed into places for certain reasons. And by the way, there's been a lot of coincidence happening with this web weaving group, and I really feel I believe that coincidence has an energy behind it. So for instance, when I said I didn't have the 7 mastermind principles, and I thought, oh, I've got the book in there, and I opened it, and the book literally opened to page 32 because I had a piece of paper, an envelope I stuck there just out of it, and just randomly was on the 7 mastermind principles.
Wow.
When I picked up the book and opened it up, it went straight to the page. And
love it.
So I feel like that's happening with me with my health. I feel like I'm in this real wake-up zone. One of my things that I talk about is I want to become this wise old woman. That's what I want to be. I want people to see and admire me for being a wise old woman, someone worth listening to, someone that's going to help bring some good to them, some good to the world. And part of what I said, I realized I have to do, especially at this point in my life, post-menopause, post-chemotherapy and cancer, I'm in a different place. I don't have the internal, as we get older, our energy dissipates. And as my energy dissipates, what I find is when I'm in pain, I don't think as well. I can't do as well as I used to be able to do when my body's not in good shape. So I keep saying that part of some of my goals is I want to start the Beavertonian Bluezonian movement. And that's about working to live to be over 100 years old. And to do that, I have to take care of my body. And now this week I got thrown into this whole thing with, okay, my back's just so messed up. I got to learn how to carry things that are lighter. I need to figure out how to organize stuff. And what I really need to do, I'm recognizing now, it's time I need to get on, be able to have an electronic mechanism be my friend, to set my schedule, to easily get things done, and to get more organized. So what I need, but I know what the problem with the electronic medium is. One of the issues I'm having with my health is my elbow. Oh, too long.
You really want to try and keep it to like 2 to 3 sentences so you can
receive. 2 to 3 sentences. Gotcha.
Yeah, you want help organizing. Is that really it in a nutshell?
I want to get onto an efficient, easy electronic medium. So if you guys are using like Google Calendar or something that you think is really easy to use and you really like, if anyone does that, if I could work with you to master what you've done so that I can – and work with someone, that'll get me to move into, making a priority.
Okay, and I'm gonna go ahead and just jump in. This isn't about an electronic device, but I've got a book I think would really help you, and it's by Denise Lynn, and it's a 28-day program, and for some reason the name of it isn't coming to me. I wrote about it in a blog not long ago, but it's an organizational get your life organized in a spiritual manner book. I'll get
how
the
do you
title.
Spell Lynn?
L-I-N-N. Denise Lynn.
L-I-N-N?
Yeah, I think it's called Soul Coaching or something like that.
Okay. Oh, well.
All right.
All right, I'll see if I can find it.
And also, I happen to be a very well-organized person, so I might even be able to come over to your house and help you physically, but it won't be anytime real soon. But
okay.
But I'm the kind of person who, I can help you with that.
Oh, that'd be great. Okay.
As far as calendars go, I have my iPhone synced with my MacBook. And
uh-huh.
So everything, I just work from my phone and just put things in there, and then it marries with my computer. So
mm-hmm.
It's all right there. I don't know if that type of system would work for you, but that's the way that I've been able to move from a paper, kind of hard copy date book, which I loved, to like, this is way more efficient to do it this way, in my opinion.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'll do that. I know, yeah, that's a good idea.
Anybody else?
Well, I came from a corporate world where my life was on my computer, and now that I'm at home, I end up with anxieties if I don't feel like I'm organized. And so I've been going to a Google Calendar, and that, and then I do a brain dump onto my calendar at the end of each day so that I don't think about it before going to bed, because I know if I put everything out there, then I can kind of clear my mind. And then when I wake up after I meditate and put my mind in order, then I kind of go back over it again. But I kind of have to learn how to let it go at night, or that kind of stuff will pop into my head. And I don't know if that's helpful, but that's just kind of what I've been trying to do now that I don't have a set schedule anymore, which can make me feel anxious, like I'm missing something.
Gotcha. And as you're saying that, what I'm thinking is it might be good for me, too, the night before to get everything laid out for the next day. So I know where I'm going.
Yes.
I know what I need to put together so that in the morning I have no stress about throwing the right stuff together. It's already laid out, ready to go. The second I get up might be helpful.
Yes. And I'm going to throw something that is really going to be a monkey wrench probably in the works, but I really found it helpful. It was a coach, a business guy by the name of Eben Pagan, I think his name is. It was a free video that I watched, and he's a he runs a multi-million dollar business, but he completely reorganized his day so that instead of waking up in the morning and checking emails first thing, the first 90 minutes of his day, he meditates, he walks, he does yoga, he drinks a green smoothie, and he spends time with his family for a full 90 minutes before he even starts his day. To me, wow, I don't know. But wow, think about maybe even 10 or 15 minutes, just starting your day with 15 minutes or 20 or a half an hour of walking, meditating, drinking tea, reading your daily inspirational stuff. And we're out of time, so I got to stop. There we go. We actually went a little bit over. Sorry about that. Just a thought. Okay. So we need to move on here because we're a little running out of time. So, Tracy, we're on to you.
Okay. I'm kind of all over the place. And would it be okay to ask for what you were thinking of your suggestions for my word, Laura? Or do I need to be, like, way more specific about what I'd like reflection on?
Well, we had something for you when you were talking, and it had to do with speaking in front of groups and putting yourself out there. How about that one?
That's great. I would love that.
Okay, because I have, and I know that Kate's going to agree with me on this one. Have you ever been to Toastmasters?
I looked into it at one point. So
you need to come to my Toastmasters group with me. I just entered a speech contest last night for the first time in my life, and I actually placed second.
Congratulations.
What was that?
Congratulations.
Thank you. So Tracy, this isn't the right area for you, but I'd love to invite you to We Toasted if you want to come to mine.
I would love to come. Yep.
Okay, well, we meet tomorrow at noon.
I can't do that.
any Thursday at noon, you're invited. But I think you would find great benefit from it. And boy, would I love you in my acting class next year.
That's what I'm thinking of. Okay, so any Thursday at noon, and it's what, an hour?
Yeah.
And it's in Tualatin?
Mine's in Lake Oswego. But there are Toastmasters all over. Kate, I mean, they're all over.
I want to go through. Let me look at my schedule and see if I can move things around, because I actually have another job. I work on Thursdays, but let me see what I can do.
Okay. Well, yeah, and it's any old time, but like I said, they're all over. So if there's one close to you that might be more convenient. I just happen to love my group. We're fun.
Okay.
But yeah, if you could take my acting class or anybody's acting class, not just mine, but I think that would really benefit you too.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. And I'm going to be quiet and let the other people jump in.
What was the question? We were just talking about...
We're having background noise.
More expressive?
I didn't hear what was just said.
So we're just talking about Tracy being more expressive. Wanting.
Okay.
I know that's not the word, but she used.
She said
my authentic self to my teaching and just really the world. So, and how to do that with practice. Like, I loved the exercise at Laura's house, but like how can I incorporate practicing it into my life, you know, short of taking Laura's acting class?
have you ever like recorded yourself in front of, you know, a video camera and, you know, given a read or something like that?
Oh my God, I did that. I did it one time. I'm not opposed to it. It's just like, oh, and you know, have you heard of the app called Periscope?
Yeah.
So a couple of the women that are my business mentors, they're all about Periscope, and I'm like, that is so awesome. But then I don't do it. Because it's like, oh, well, what do I have to say? Like, you have to have something to say, you know. You need to have, like, you need to be inspired so you can inspire other people, you know. And, I mean, I have all these reasons why I don't do it, like the dream thing, right? And but I've never really, like, sat with that and, like, well, why don't I do that? Like, you know, why don't I do that?
It sounds like you need to just take more action and less thinking. That's what I do. I need more action.
Action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tracy, I have a special assignment for you that's only for you that nobody else in the circle has to do. And that is to sit down and do a written exercise about what it is, how it is that you want to inspire someone.
And okay.
What it is you want to say. If you were to take the perfect person that you want to inspire the most, what would you say to that audience? To that one, pick one particular person and then sit down and write it down, and that's what you're going to start your action with. You'll start practicing with what you have written.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Okay.
I'm going to do it too.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah, and you all can do it. Tracy's the only one who has to, but the rest of you
awesome. That's great. Great suggestion. Thank you.
Can I add one thing?
Yeah.
You still got a minute.
Really quick. Okay. I have written out what's it called? When you die and they talk about you.
Eulogy.
Yes. Yes, and I've been working on it and adding stuff to it and changing to it, and that's kind of an interesting way to look at yourself from the outside.
Yeah.
And goals.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Nice. Like your legacy, you know, think about.
Yeah, like what we talked about in the end of life interviews, you know, what kind of legacy you want to be leave behind and be more intentional about that. That's awesome. Thanks, Gabby. So we're at just over 6 minutes. So if anybody has something, make it quick. Nope. Okay. Awesome. Well, with that, I believe our circle for the day is complete. So how did you guys feel about that?
Great.
I felt like very good.
It's fun, isn't it? Gives you meat and potatoes, stuff to really work on. So we'll be doing this again 2 weeks from today. And I just want to thank you all very much for your participation. And does anybody have any last questions or comments before we sign off, because we're at just over an hour here. Okay.
Well, everyone, good luck, everyone. I look forward to seeing how we do in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, yes. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. And please remember to pop into the Facebook group and keep posted. And if anybody has any questions along the way, let me know. I'm here.
Laura, could you stay on for just a minute after?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everyone. Yes.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks. Bye. Have a great rest of the week.
You too.
Okay.